All right, thank you. My name is Jesse and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jesse.
And my clean date is May 6, 1990, so I'm real grateful. You know, it's like when this convention committee first started the process for Hagna 13, I remember telling someone, hey, if you need my help, let me know. You know, that's what we do. And then about 3 weeks ago, I get a call, hey, you know you're doing a workshop and here's the topic. It's like, okay, yeah, that's good, I'll be there. And then I read what my topic is, and I go, what the fuck? It says, we will always, you know, not sometimes, when I feel like it, when they feel like it, when the world feels like it, it says we will always be subject to reverting to our worst character defects in stressful situations. Now, you know, and it's like, damn, why they pick that topic to give me? You know, it's like, why? You know, it's like, can I have another one? Can I turn this one back in and get another one? It's like, but the reason why is because it's where, like they say, it's right where I need it to be. You know, and it comes out of Narcotics Anonymous Step Working Guide. You know, and it's funny how this book has the same color scheme. That it works, how and why. You know, I think they go hand in hand, you know? And so it comes out of step 6. And it says, wow, says a whole lot of stuff. That we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. But I like my defects of character. You know, that's who I am. It's like, why do I want them removed? You know, it's like, what's up? But the reason they need to be, it's not so much that they need to be removed, it's that the longer I stay clean, the more I experience something called growth. And I can't live today in some of my outdated living skills of the past. If I'm going to experience growth, I have to move forward. Growth is never backwards. It's never sideways. It's always moving forward. So it does say that in here. And it's in a section of the step working guide that says to have God remove. See? And when I go back to It Works on Why, it says the same thing. It says in step 6, as I read down on the first page, it says the lifelong process of the 6th step. Okay, so it's a lifelong process. I'm not ready to have these defects of character removed right now. Yeah. Because I like them. I feel good when I'm in that mode. But there's a reason. It says the lifelong process of the 6th step is just that, a process. It says we start the process by becoming entirely ready. Hey, I'm ready, God. But just not today, you know? And then he goes on to say, and it kind of slaps me in the face because it says, our job is to become entirely ready and to open our hearts and our minds to the deep internal changes that can only be brought on by the presence of a loving God. You know, and that's in the It Works on Why. And like I say, color schemes, I think they go hand in hand. You know, I usually like to apply them both. And so it talks about this in the last paragraph. It says the first thing most of us do about our character defects is decide not to have them. Hmm. Yeah, I don't want this shit. I don't like the way I'm acting. But do I got to get rid of them now? You know, because I kind of like them. I like when I'm in that mode. I like when I'm in that zone. I don't know about y'all, but I love it. You know, but it's not healthy for me. It's preventing me from experiencing something called growth. Progress. You know, I gotta keep moving. So it says about, unfortunately, this is futile. About as effective as attempting to control our using. Oh, fuck. See, I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I thought I had a drug problem. And when I got here, you know, I don't know. I didn't think I was an addict, but I knew I had a drug problem. And as I read the literature, I found out that I was an addict. And they told me early on, they said, read the literature. Don't wait. Read the basic text. Don't wait for the movie to come out. You know, so I started reading the basic text, you know, and it says, you know, a whole lot of good stuff, you know. And so as I read the basic text, I started identifying that, yes, I'm an addict. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a crack addict. I'm simply an addict. Although, for me, it took a specific drug to get me here, and my drug that I was using at that time may not be what your drug is using, but it's still a specific drug that brought me to a point to where I said, I can't do it no more, but I kept doing it. And I kept saying, why do I keep doing it? I don't want to do it no more. And I found out that I had this disease called addiction. Yeah. And it's like whether I chose to be an addict or not has nothing to do with it. I suffer from the disease of addiction. The literature says that. It's not about the specific drug. It's about my reaction to the drug. It's what makes me an addict is that, you know, once I start using, I can't stop. And I don't know about you, but I said literally hundreds of times in my last 4 years, I don't want to do this shit no more. And then I start questioning, why do I keep doing this shit when I don't want to do this shit no more? You know, and I kept saying, please, God, you know, I don't want to do this shit no more. And I kept doing this stuff because I was running on me power. And my best thinking is what got me here. That's what people told me. So it's ironic in this reading right here. It says the problem is that our defects are part of us. So see, it's part of me. So I it's okay then. No, it's not. We will always be subject to reverting to our worst character defects in stressful situations. Now, you know, define stressful situations. My stressful situation may be different than with somebody else. I may be able to coast through something and you may not be able to. You know? But the point is that I know, you know? And if I'm being honest, like the basic text says about honesty is the antidote to our diseased thinking, if I'm truly being honest, then I'll be able to start working on this. And what really sucks is that in the little subchapter up above, it talks about, for instance, we're still insecure. How dare you? I ain't insecure. I've been clean 29 years. You know, I know what I'm talking about. I know what I need to do. I know how to take care of myself. I know how to put myself in check. But there's times that I'm still insecure. Ain't that some shit? Sometimes I really get angry because of that. Yeah. But am I willing to work on that? See, we say laughter is identification. You know, it's like, man, that's some hard shit to do. Work on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't you know who I am? That's my ego talking shit. You know, man, God. Yeah. So, to have God remove these defects. You know, I remember early on in recovery, when I got clean, and I remember that, man, I used to like think so much of my oldest daughter, and I had a younger daughter that I didn't even know, because she was born in November of the year prior to me getting clean, which was 1990. And I remember that, man, it was just like, and I got out of this treatment center, and the next thing you know, my oldest daughter came back to live with me. See, prior to that, I say live with me. She was living with my mama. I just happened to live in the same household. Yeah, I called it my house, but it was my mom's house. You know, it wasn't my house, you know. And my daughter came back to live with us, and somebody said, go to this organization and see how they can help. And the next thing you know, I got custody of my daughter. You know, and I was so full of fear. I don't know how to raise a child. You know, and it took my sponsor to remind me, well, don't you live with your mama? You know, it's like, yeah. Okay, then what's the problem? Oh, yeah. See, that's that insecure fear. Man, I don't know how to raise my daughter. And then my youngest daughter came to live with me, who was had just been born in November. So she was about 9 months old. And once again, I called James, my sponsor, and I said, James, man, now I got, you know, baby with me, man. What am I supposed to do? I don't know how to raise a child. She's not even a year old. She's in Pampers, man. It's like, well, don't you live at your mama's? It's like, yeah, but what? Okay, you got some help. You got a support system in place. You know, if you need to come to a meeting, you know, someone can take care of your kids. So now, you know, fast forward, you know, I was a single parent for years, 17 years. I had kids in my home. Who would have thought of an addict? You know, when I got here, I was just a dope fiend. All I knew how to do was use, and not just use drugs, but use people, places, and things. You know, I remember I used to say, man, what's mine is mine, and what yours is mine, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, so I get here, and I start this process, and I have these fearful situations, and like it says, you know, we'll be subject to reverting to our worst character defects. I remember, man, I was like just terrible, you know? And especially at one point where I quit smoking cigarettes, I was even worse there. And I've heard my mom tell my oldest daughter, find your dad a goddamn cigarette so he can quit bitching so much. I said, damn. You know, I just happened to overhear it. But it was like, damn. I mean, I heard my mom cuss maybe twice in my lifetime. And that was the third time. And those few times was at a party, a picnic, a barbecue, and she drank a beer, and I would hear some, you know, one or two words that were profanity. And she was talking, she said, damn. So I was in my worst behavior back then, but it was a stressful situation. You know, I don't know about y'all, but nicotine is a drug. And I was going through withdrawals. You know, just like I was going through withdrawals when I first got clean. It was more psychological then when I first got clean. This time it was more physical and psychological. But I took a look at it. And see, that's what I've learned in working these steps, is that I gotta take a look at this stuff. But why? I like it. I like acting a fool. I don't like it. I love acting a fool. You know, I thrive on it. It's like it gives me a buzz. I don't know how to explain it other than that. You know, I get a charge off of it. But I can't continue because it's obsessive and compulsive, you know? And it's always a downhill, spiraling downhill, you know? I can't live like that. You know, thanks to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I know I'm clean today and I'm drug free, but I'm not drug proof. You know, with 29 years, if I don't continue to take a look at me and my actions and my defects of characters and my behaviors, instead of focusing and looking on what you're doing wrong, because it's easy to see what you're doing wrong. It's very difficult for me to see what I'm doing wrong. But I have to. You know, I have to. You know, I remember when my mom passed, that was a very stressful situation. And I remember going and buying a pack of cigarettes. And I remember opening them and taking one out. I didn't think about using dope, but I thought about using, you know? And I was dry puffing on that cigarette, and I had the pack here in my hand. I wouldn't let it go. You know, I was clutching to it, just like I used to clutch to that dope, you know, until I got home. And I remember my daughter says, Dad, what are you doing? You know? And she grabbed the cigarettes out of my hand and threw them out the window, out the car. I go, what are you doing? Says, Dad, you don't smoke. See, She was too young to remember when I smoked, you know, because I had about a year and a half clean, you know, so she was like less than 2 years old when I quit. So she didn't remember. But the thing is I was facing, for me, that was a very, very, very stressful situation. You know, I was a mama's boy, you know. My mom was my greatest caretaker, but she was also my greatest enabler. You know, every time I got into a jam, what do we say? Mama. You know, mama bailed me out. You know, mama. Yeah. Did I ever contribute when I worked and lived with mama? Not really. So, you know, and I had to take a look at it. And I had to call a sponsor. And I'd say, dude, man, I don't know why, but I bought a pack of cigarettes today and I was getting light up. And it's like, man, you ain't smoked in years. I said, I know, you know. And he said, well, you know, your mom did pass right now recently. So you was just going through a stressful situation. It's like, yeah, but I actually thought about smoking a cigarette. I mean, I don't know if y'all understand what I'm talking about, but I actually felt like hitting it, you know. And I know the next step would have been hitting something else. And he says, well, dude, but did you act out on it? I said, well, not really. I mean, I hit it dry, but I didn't light up. He goes, all right, that's good. You didn't act out on it. I said, wow. You know, because sponsor has a way of making things to me that's so complicated that I make this big, huge issue about it into something that's just so simple. Wow. You know, I'm real grateful for my sponsor. He had 2 years clean when I asked him to sponsor me. And I always share that he had 2 years clean and a Jerry curl. You know, because this is 1990. You know, and Jerry curls were kind of already going out of faith. But I had to, you know, my sponsor, you know. And today he don't have no hair. But what he does have is peace of mind, you know. He had 2 years clean, you know, and I saw him celebrate 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, on up to 31 years this past April 1st. And I remember when I heard his clean day, he's like, who gets clean on April Fool's Day? Is that a joke? But I love my sponsor. So when I speak, I always speak about my sponsor, you know, that I love my sponsor. I also always give my hats off to my home group, which is Alive and Kicking here in Houston. You know, they took a Mexican, crazy, came in riding a Harley, thought I was badass, you know, and they said, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking around the room and I said, wow, ain't no Mexicans in here, you know? And then I go to a meeting after a day or two, and they talk about you need to listen to the similarities, not the differences. Mm. And it's like, wow. Every time somebody shares, I'm going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was identifying to the similarities. And then, you know, they say read IP. So when I started, we didn't have a lot of this literature. We had the basic text, little white booklet, and we had a lot of IPs, you know? And it's like, wow. You know, who would have thought, you know, that just listening and identifying, I could find some solution if I worked on it. That's the key. Just knowing I knew I had a drug problem way before I came into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I knew something was wrong. You know, I knew I was screwed up. You know? But I always say, well, I'll drink to that, I'll smoke to that, I'll fuck, or you know, F it, you know? So, you know, we will always be subject to reverting to our worst character defects. Not just to our character defects, to our worst character defects. That's a cold-blooded statement right there. Because that means my worst, oh my God. So what I got to do is continue to work on me and experience something called did I mention it before? Something called growth. And working towards growth is not easy, because it's very easy to identify the stuff I got to work on, but it's not very easy to work on me to get beyond the stuff that I identified. But that's what this is all about. And sponsor says, well, you got beyond smoking dope, drinking dope, snorting dope, doing whatever you did with that stuff. I said, well, yeah. He says, well, why can't you get beyond this? Hmm. It's like, I just heard it. That's what I say, You know, I never thought about it like that. See, that's why it's a must have a sponsor. Because if I'm sponsoring myself, that's the last person I use dope with, me. So, you know, I got a way of making wrong, right, left, right, everything right. You know, it's not that bad. Was I the only one that said that? You know, I can stop anytime. See, so that's why I got to have a sponsor. You know, and my sponsor, man, he has a way of just putting things across that just like, wow. And then there's sometimes when I call him and then he really throws me for a loop, because I call him and he says, well, what do you think you ought to do? It's like, damn, that's why I called you, you know? And he goes, well, what do you think you ought to do? And then I say, what I think I need to do, what I know I need to do is this, 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 and this. And he usually says, man, that sounds like a great idea. Now, how are you going to do that? Wow, come on now. You got to give me some of the answers, you know? See, the thing is it's not easy, man, walking around on this earth with me. You know, I came in here with a drug problem, and I found out I had a Jesse problem. You know, and the literature talks about that in the basic text. It says one aspect of our addiction was our inability to deal with life on life's terms. It says we tried drugs and combination of drugs to cope with a seemingly hostile world. We dreamed of finding a magic formula that will solve our ultimate problem, ourselves. It's like, man, I don't want to work on me. Can I just be the way I am? I like me the way I am. But I can't keep existing the way I am. You know, I'm 62 years old. You know, I can't act like I'm 90 days clean. I gotta act like I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs. But that's some hard shit to do, y'all. I mean, no matter how much time you got, that's some hard shit to do. You know? But I have to do it. You know, I just have to do it. And is it easy? No. Especially because I'm subject to revert to our worst worst character defects in stressful situations. See, we say that I have this disease called addiction. It's only been arrested. Well, my worst character defects have only been arrested too. They don't just get erased. You know, they don't just disappear, magically disappear. You know, they're still there. I just don't act out on them. But every now and then, and it don't even have to be that bad of a stressful situation. It's just something about that just comes out. Why? Because I like them. I miss them. I want to act a fool and rip and run and tear shit up and tell people fuck you and, you know, eat shit and die, you know. But I can't do that because that's my old me, see. And so when I encounter situations that I have to take a look at me, I have to take a look at me. And that shit ain't always easy, man. I tell y'all, man. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about. This shit ain't easy. You know? But I want to see tomorrow clean. You know? I want to know the day I go that people are going to say, yeah, you know, he can't continue to work on himself. You know? Not that, oh, that old fool was a screw up all his life. You know? And so, man, all I can say is step six is about the willingness. And before that, it talks about entirely ready. Wow. Can I just be kind of sort of entirely? You know, why do I got to be entirely ready? Yeah. And how do I know if I'm entirely ready? Once again, sponsorship, my higher power. That's the other thing my sponsor always tells me when I talk to him. He says, well, have you talked to your higher power about it? Or have you prayed on it? And it's like, pray on it. See, I forget that that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, when I was using and I backed myself up into a corner and I was just so desperate, I didn't have a problem praying then. Saying, God, please, I'll never do this shit again. Just help me, please. You know, and I was desperate in my pleas. And somehow I always overcame it. And sometimes it was hours, minutes, or days. And I forgot how desperate I felt. And I was back out there using again. See? And when I found Narcotics Anonymous, you know, they told me, man, work the steps. And so they didn't say work the steps and then move on with the rest of your life. They said stay in the solution. You know, sponsor always says, hey, man, what step you practicing today? What? You know, what step am I practicing? You know, I have to bullshit my way through that because I ain't practicing none of them sometimes. Sometimes I'm just practicing the honesty part, step one. You know, they say the how of the program, and sometimes I'm just grateful it doesn't say 100% honesty. It just says honesty, you know. So I'm not always in the solution, but I thank my higher power and Narcotics Anonymous that I'm not in the problem. Although I may act like I am. And that's because I'm running around in life with who? Jesse. You know, an addict who the only way I knew for years was to use. And we say our disease has only been arrested. You know, I remember when I made 11 years clean, right before my mom passed. You know, I remember thinking, because I got my clean date is in May, my mom passed in June, but I remember vividly saying, well, shit, you only did crack for 11 years, man. You got 11 years now. Yeah. And I'm going like, where the hell did that thought come from? You know, just out of nowhere, you know? And then when my mom passed, man, like I said, you know, I went through what I had to go through, but I remember putting my 11-year coin that I had gotten at Narcotics Anonymous in her casket and saying, Mom, thank you, man, for putting up with me when I was using. And I know that I didn't make all the amends I needed to, but I made some amends to you. You know, because, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but there was many times that I stole from my mom, and when she couldn't find whatever she was looking for, I helped her look for it. Mm. You know, I know it's here somewhere, Mom. Mm. You know, and I remember crawling on the floor into her bedroom to take money out of her coin purse. Mm. You know? And so when I got clean, man, I was faced with all that stuff, you know? And I remember I said, Mom, I got to make these amends to you. So, and she didn't understand. I said, well, look, every payday, I'm going to take you out to eat. Where you want to go? And she always wanted to go to this one Chinese buffet or the Ponchos. It was a buffet, too. You know? And it's like, man, it was always the same ones, you know. And I remember that one day I said, Mom, man, I'm tired of Ponchos, man. I'm tired of that same Chinese, you know, BS, man. And so she turns to my daughters and she says, kids, where y'all want to go? And they look all bright eyes and they say, well, let's go to Red Lobster. I said, hey, let's go to Ponchos. You know, I mean, you know, I had a Ponchos budget. But the thing is that I took her out to eat, and if the weather wasn't right, we ordered out, and that's how I made my amends to Mom, you know? And when she passed, you know, she knew, you know, because we took care of her the last, my two children and me took care of Mom for a couple of years, you know, because she started coming up with Alzheimer's and then becoming incontinent and, you know, all these things that, and my kids did never say, Dad, we need to put her in a nursing home. You know, they said, Dad, I'm going to be here at this time so I can help you out. And it's like, wow, you know, my sister didn't come and say, hey, my nephew and nieces didn't come and say, hey, my brother didn't come, but my children did. You know, they stepped up to the plate. You know, I still have a great relationship with my children. You know, but there's still times that I can't stand my ass. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but there's times that, man, I say, you're a freaking asshole, Jesse. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so full of shit, Jesse. Mm-hmm. You know, and why I say that is because I'm not willing to work on what I need to work on, you know, to experience what? Growth. You know, that shit is not easy, man. You know, just staying clean is not enough. Just staying drug-free, abstinent is not enough. How do I know that? I hear it from y'all that come in here and never work some steps, never get a sponsor, never get the literature, and then I see you back years later saying, well, I never worked the steps, you know, and when I thought about using, well, guess what? I did. I went out and used. Yeah. It's like, wow. So anyway, man, all that said and done, if I could stay clean, really anybody could stay clean, and the solution is in the steps, in the program, in the literature. Yeah. An addict, that's what it says, any addict. You know what, can stop using. That's the easy part. You know, stop using. Shit, I stopped 100 times in the last 4 years. You know, wow. Lose a desire. That's some harsh shit right there, because I used for a lot of years, you know, and I liked using when I got here. I didn't like the effects from using. And the hardest part to that is find a new way to live. You know, we have to find a new way to live. So, thank you. My name is Jesse, I'm an addict.
Thank you. All right, help me thank Jesse one more time for sharing his experience, strength, and hope with us. All right, our next speaker is Janelle.
Hello, family. My name is Janelle. I am an addict.
Hey, Janelle.
I truly am grateful to be here at the convention of Narcotics Anonymous, and I love the theme here in Houston. You know, there is a solution. To get started, I'll get some statistics, a few statistics out of the way. My clean date is June 2nd, 2001. My home group is in Riverside, California. It's the morning fix, and we meet Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And I love the morning fix. I was taught around here when I first came around, you know, in my disease, I would go anywhere to get loaded, anywhere to get some good dope or a good hit or a good lick. And so I live 50 miles from my home group in Redondo Beach. However, I do have a service commitment in Redondo Beach. My home group at home is the No Nonsense Meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and we meet Thursday night in Gardenia, and our format is Just for Today. So I was taught that if I can go anywhere for my disease, I can go anywhere for my recovery. And I share that because I like to share with newcomers, you know, if you're not hearing the message in this room, find another room. Find any room in Narcotics Anonymous where you can identify and you can hear the message, as long as you keep coming back, no matter which room it is. I got clean in San Diego. I lived in San Diego. I did my dope in San Diego. And every now and then I get to go home to San Diego. And my home group in San Diego is a Saturday morning live meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. It's a closed meeting, and I love closed meetings. I love it when I hear addicts sharing from the heart, and that's when I hear the message most. I am a service. I have a service commitment with the San Diego Imperial County Region of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm on the subcommittee for Let's Bring Circle of Sisters to San Diego. We meet monthly. And then I have a treasurer commitment at my Thursday night meeting. I am truly grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous because it has freely given to me so much that I just cannot give back what was so freely given to me. And I do that in service. I do that going to meetings. I keep coming back. The meetings are my medication. So when I was asked to do a workshop, you know, there's just no way I could say no. I was taught in San Diego never to decline a service request. And I just don't. I just don't. You know, when I'm asked to suit up and show up, that's just what I do. My gratitude speaks when I participate in my recovery. It just does. I can't say I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous and then not suit up and not show up and not be there for someone. And I work with my sponsees like that, and I talk to my sponsor like that, and I have a support group that really, really cares about me. That was what I was taught when I first came around here, to find a support group. And they're very advantageous to me. I gravitate toward people who love this program like I love this program, who are into the literature and who work the program, work the steps, have a sponsor and support group and service commitments. That's just what I do. I don't have anything better in my life than Narcotics Anonymous, and it's like 100% of my life. I was out of town when I got the topic, and just like Jesse was sharing, I was like, what the heck is this? And I got the topic in a text message, and I didn't have my literature with me. But I keep the literature with me electronically. You know, it is bookmarked on my phone, the basic text, It Works How and Why, and the Step Working Guide. And thank God for my support group, because I couldn't find it scrolling. They gave me the page number, but it's different on web. I was scrolling, I couldn't find it, but I texted to my girl, and immediately she texts back. Yeah, it's after to have God remove at the bottom of the page and everything. Gave me a screenshot, mm-hmm. You know, because I have people in my life that are there for me that I can reach out to, and they reach back to me. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, step six, mm-hmm. Under to have God remove, and I love step six. I do. For me, when I worked through the steps with my sponsor, and I was taught also, you know, if you don't feel you have the best damn sponsor in the world, you probably don't have the best damn sponsor in the world. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. And when we got together, she showed me how this program works. She told me that we would be dealing with spiritual principles. And we would get together, and we would go through the basic text, and we read that text word by word, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, page by page. When we got to a step, we worked the step. And with each step, I had to write on the spiritual principles of each step. So by the time I got to step six, I had some tools in my toolbox besides a support group, a sponsor, meetings, service work. I had some spiritual principles that I knew how to practice on a regular basis or turn to. Because for me, it was in step three when they said I can make the group or spiritual principles a power greater than myself. I graduated toward spiritual principles. You know, by then I understood how acceptance, powerlessness, and surrender of step one works in my life, you know. And I had the hope when I keep coming back to meetings, you know, and I learned about willingness, and I learned about a higher power. And it was, for me, it was identifying my character defects as a result of working with my sponsor in steps four and five, that she was able to see the patterns in my past, the patterns in my inventory. You know, and I was able to identify character defects that I had that I was surprised, you know. I had ego and control, but I didn't realize there were other character defects in my life that surfaced. I didn't realize that I was prejudiced and I stereotype. That was like a shocker for me. I was like, whoa, you know. I didn't realize that I had ambition was one of my character defects, you know, because I would put my desire to rise up in my career ahead of a lot of things, mm-hmm. You know. And perfectionism is another one of my character defects. Everything's got to be just right. It's got to go my way, which fed into my control issues, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, based on my story, you know, I found out that depression is a character defect for me because depression, when I am under one of my episodes or one of my modes, it's just anger turned inward. I'm mad at something I did to me, something I didn't do, where I've crossed my beliefs or my values, and I'm mad at myself, and I'm so depressed that I don't want to participate in life. I don't want to suit up and show up. I just want to crawl up in a ball, you know, curl up in a ball. You know, but it was as a result of working steps 4 and 5 and working with my sponsor and doing deep diving and doing the work that I knew what my character defects were when I came to this step. You know, and in step 6, before we even get to that topic, or even after we get that topic, you know, we had identified some spiritual principles, some tools that I could use in opposition of those character defects. Because for me, to have God remove, for me, my higher power is the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. Whenever anything's going on in my life, I turn to either I need to practice acceptance or I need to surrender. You know, I need to recognize that I'm powerless over people, places, and things. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I'm and when I'm confused, you know, and I don't know what to do, I need to rely on the hope that I see in the other member's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I need to have faith that everything's going to be okay. So when I got to step 6, I had some spiritual principles to practice in opposition of my character defects. And it's interesting about this topic. You know, it talks about, let's see, where it says, we will always be subject to reverting to our worst character defects in stressful situations. And I was looking at it, and I was reading it. And when I first got the topic, I'm like, oh, I don't have any stress. I was like, no, I got to do that now. You know, that my stress level isn't as high as it used to be. Because, you know, I'm going to meetings, I'm working with my sponsees, you know, I'm okay. And I know that was the lie, that was the disease telling me. But I had no idea what I was going to share about on this topic. I was like, whoa, well, let me go back and read what I wrote. But no, I wanted to remain current. And you know, what I did is I prayed on it and I meditated on it and I thought about it and I said, God, help me, you know, help me reveal, you know, an experience in my past where perhaps there was a stressful situation where my character defect did pop up and appear. And as I was reading on it, you know, there were some questions. That's what I love about the Step Working Guy. These questions, they deep dive, they make you think, and you have to contemplate. And as I answered these questions when I was working the steps, you know, there are some times when I had to think for like a couple of days or weeks before I can come back and answer these questions. Because I was like, whoa, where did they come from? I know they come from addicts, written by addicts for addicts. However, I'm like, darn, how did they know? How did they know? You know, it talks about the topic, it says we need to do in the 6th step is much like what we had to do in the first 2 steps. We had to admit that we have been defeated by internal force that has brought nothing but pain and degradation to our lives. Then we need to admit we need help in dealing with that force. And for me, every time I read anything in the literature, for me, it's always backed up with a solution to whatever they tell me my problem is or what my dilemma is. Even when I read the Just for Today on a daily basis, the solution is in there. What I need to do to recover? What do I need to do to combat the disease of addiction? What do I need to do to grow, as Jesse was talking about? You know, but there were some questions that come after this topic. How am I trying to remove or control my character defects? What have my attempts resulted in? But it was the next question that stood out for me. What is the difference between being entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character or suppressing them myself? And that's where I identified, yeah, I'll suppress my character defects. I don't want people to know that I have perfectionism. You know, and when I'm depressed, I ain't telling nobody shit. You know, I was taught around here, you know, the women taught me, you know, about gossiping and not judging. You know, people who judge don't matter, and people who matter don't judge. You know, but, you know, I do have that character defect of stereotyping and prejudice. I do. But it was an old timer that taught me, you know, I may not be responsible for my first thought, but I am responsible for the thought afterwards. You know, there are some solutions here. And so I had a situation that happened about 10 days ago. And in the end, I realized, oh, let me share this at the workshop, where my character defects came out when I was under stress, because a stressful situation has came to me. About a year ago, my medical plan changed, where instead of getting the medical doctor, my primary care moved on. And so I was told that I had to get a new primary care doctor, and that means I wasn't going to the same facility. And I had to go online and pick a primary care doctor. And so there's this list of doctors, and I don't know who they are. I don't know what experience. I just don't know. And I was hesitant. I didn't really want to do that, you know. I didn't want to do that. But a situation came up where, you know, the nail shop, they said I had toenail fungus, so now I need to go see a doctor. So now I have to go through this list, and I need to find a doctor. And me being perfectionist and anal and detailed and everything like that, I'm looking at the doctor's names, and then I'm comparing it to a website on the reviews of doctors, you know. And I take all this time to find just the right one. Then I got to call and make sure they're accepting new patients, right? See if one will take me. And I finally find, after all this research, all this stuff that I put into, I finally find a doctor who can see me on Friday at 9:30 in the morning. I was like, great, you know, I take the day off work, I'm gonna go down there to go see them. And they gave me a phone call a couple days before, reminder phone call of your appointment at 9:30 in the morning. And I get to the doctor's office, and I get there at 9:30, and the receptionist says, oh, I don't think the doctor can see you, we may have to reschedule. You were supposed to be here at 9 o'clock to fill out paperwork because you're a new patient. See, I didn't listen to the whole voicemail recording where at the end they said new patients need to come early. And so right then and there, I was so disappointed, you know. But I was taught, you know, to be polite, courteous, and professional. And I was like, are you sure? Can you check with the doctor? And so she goes to check with the doctor. They're like, no, let's reschedule you because you need to fill out paperwork. And my head's like, it don't take me no damn 30 minutes to fill out no paperwork. I'm healthy. I know. I don't have any heart disease or high blood pressure. It's just toenail fungus. What the fuck, you know? But, you know, I'm having all this internal controversy and turmoil inside. But on the outside, I'm like, okay, thank you. And I'm very upset and mad with myself. You know, I'm really disappointed. I'm pissed. You know, things weren't going my way. My expectations of just going to the doctor's appointment, seeing the doctor, getting a prescription, you know. And then I also had a plan to go to go pick up a new lipstick too from Sephora. I was gonna go to the makeup shop, and then I was gonna go to the Serenity store because I got a buddy I'm giving a 28-year token to. You know, so I had plans, and then I was gonna go home and have the rest of my Friday. But what happened when I left? You know, with this, you know, feeling all funky inside and not really realizing and recognizing that I'm feeling real funky inside, as I go to Sephora and I spend over $200 on makeup. I'm just sitting there just, you know, not really recognizing that I'm trying to fix my feelings. Then I go to the Serenity shop to get the token. Oh, but let me get some cards. So-and-so's birthday's in 6 months and get a token. I don't even know if they're going to be clean in 6 months, but yet I'm getting their tokens and everything. I spent over $100 in the Serenity shop. I just went to go get one token. And then I'm driving home from San Diego to Redondo Beach on the 405 in LA, and it's a lot of traffic because now I'm leaving about 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead of at, you know, before 12 noon, before Friday afternoon traffic starts up, and I'm feeling like crap. You know, it's slow, bumper, bumper traffic, and I'm just really feeling like crap. I'm feeling like shit. And what I feel like doing is going home and binging on Netflix and curling up in a ball. I don't want to participate. I don't want to do shit. And I'm feeling like this, you know, and I'm like, what the hell? Why am I? It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend. What am I doing? But see, I have tools in my toolbox, and what I did is I picked up the phone and I called another addict. I called someone in my support group. As a matter of fact, I called an addict that I just met at the Atlanta convention a month before, and we had become friends because they love Narcotics Anonymous like I love Narcotics Anonymous. And we were talking, and this addict helped me see that it was resistance to change. Here's another character defect I didn't realize I had, resistance to change. You know, if only I had recognized and realized, and this is what I love about the program and talking with someone else, I see that the problem with me was that I didn't even really want to find a doctor in the first place. You know, I didn't want to change my primary care. I procrastinated on that. Another character defect, procrastination. You know? And so the solution, as we were talking and everything, was that, you know, Janelle, you remember, you need to practice some spiritual principles on what's going on in your life. You know, for this perfectionism, you need to lower your expectations on yourself. You know, I'm not, my expectations can get me into trouble, and they will have me resorting to my worst character defects. But I'm not perfect, and that's okay. I don't have to be perfect. I'm just human. For me, I need to practice open-mindedness. You know, I need to be more open-minded when picking a doctor. It doesn't have to be a perfect white male doctor that I used to see on TV when I was growing up, because that's what I was looking for, that stereotyping, that prejudice. When I was checking the list and I'm looking at reviews and everything, I was so narrow-minded in what I needed for myself and what I wanted. I need to be more open-minded and choose the best doctor with the best availability that I can go see. There are so many areas in my life where my character defects will come up and I may not even be aware of it. But if I don't have a spiritual toolbox, a kit that I can go to, if I don't have a support group that I can talk to when things are going bad or when things are just uncomfortable or when I just don't understand why I'm feeling like crap, why am I feeling like shit? You know, why am I spending more money in the makeup store than I really need to? You know, what is leading me to these behaviors? It's because I'm mad at myself. Because I hurt myself, you know, and I'll do that. That's how it was for me and my disease. You know, thank God that I do have this program and I do have a spiritual toolbox. One of the other things that I liked about this reading is that it says even after all the work we've done in the fourth and fifth steps, we're still not entirely clear at this point about our defects of character. We're probably wondering precisely our character defects end and our character begins with the complex structure of our personality. Why do we do the things that we do? Is it someone's fault? Why do we feel this way? Why, how, where? If we're not careful, we can become so obsessed that we lose sight of why we're working the sixth step. We need to focus our efforts. Our goal is to raise our awareness of our character defects so that we can become entirely ready to have them removed, not to analyze their origin or indulge in a bout of self-absorption. See, that self-absorption, for me, I can get caught up in my own head, and I call it mental masturbation, where I will just milk an idea over and over and over again. I could be obsessive in my thinking, you know, and I could talk myself out of some bullshit, you know, and it's still bullshit, you know, because I know the disease is centered in my thinking. I know I have compulsiveness, obsessiveness. And today, you know, I was just sharing with another addict, you know, my addiction has taken me to a point where even at 18 years clean, I'm addicted to the e-cigarettes, the vaping, you know, I am. I'm compulsive about it. I'm obsessive about it. I go to vaping conventions, okay? So I can get more, you know, that one is 2 minutes, 1,000 is never enough. So I can get more. You know, I am not confused about who I am. I am not confused about the disease of addiction and how it manifests in my life. You know, and so even though, you know, it's character defects that I have are a part of me, and I am not confused that only a power greater than myself can remove them. And for me, it's about practicing spiritual principles on a regular basis, all the time, applying them. You know, I was hearing Jesse share about what step are you working today? You know, and it's like, what part of my program, what part of my recovery is active in me today? It was as a result of me thoroughly doing step 10 and 11 that I had this awareness. In step 10, there's like a bunch of questions to answer. And my sponsor had me answer those questions every day for 30 days because it says in step 10, how long do we need to do this inventory? How long do we need to do this regular inventory? And it says until we feel comfortable, until it doesn't feel like a chore. And as a result of when I was doing step 10 and answering those questions over and over every night, it made it easier, gave me that self-discipline for when I got to step 11. sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with my higher power. It made it easy for me to take that inventory that I was doing every night and apply meditation on a regular daily basis. And in that meditation and prayer, you know, I learned that I had to go back to my third step. Because it was where, even though I had a lack of power, I did have the power to carry out God's will. That's the power that I had, the power to carry out God's will. And going back, I had to redefine God's will for me. Doing these steps on a regular basis in every area of my life, I realized at that time that God's will for me is to be kind, courteous, and compassionate toward others. Just to be kind, courteous, and compassionate toward others. Because it's not about me anymore. It's about how I treat others. And when I'm kind, courteous, and compassionate toward others, I can practice spiritual principles in an outward nature. I could be open-minded. You know, I can stop the stereotyping. You know, I can lose that perfectionism that I have. You know, I don't have to control everything and everything around me. I don't have to do that anymore. I know for me, the solution is in the steps. And in removing my character defects, it's only a power greater than myself. And for me, that power greater than myself are the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't have much more to say about character defects. I just know this program works for me. You know, I just know I keep suiting up, showing up, and I do what's indicated. And I know this is my medication. And I am very, very grateful that I was asked to speak today. This is my first time doing a workshop, and anytime anybody needs me to do anything for them in the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous and carrying the message, I will be there. Because Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. Thank you for letting me share.